Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, as I mentioned, today on the program, we are talking about the film that is going to be released here in the next couple of days with some screenings here in the area, Gone Are the Days. And the film was written by Farmington resident Greg Tucker and directed by former Farmington resident Mark Gould and stars, among other, Lance Henriksen. And all of these gentlemen are joining me live this morning to talk about this film. Folks, good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
There's everybody. And let me start with Greg Tucker, who wrote this film. Greg, good morning to you, and thanks for being with us. Talk to me a little bit about the story of Gone Are the Days.
Scott, I wrote it in, well, it was a short story, a novella. I was taking a graduate-level creative writing class at Arizona State University. My professor was Mark Harris, who wrote the screenplay Beat the Drum Slowly, a Robert De Niro movie about Lou Gehrig. And he really liked the story. He said that I should consider putting it into a screenplay format. It wasn't until some years later in 2000, about the time that after I was elected district attorney in San Juan County, that I decided to do that. I turned it into a screenplay, submitted it to Project Greenlight, which was a HBO contest, and received an award and kind of forgot about it at that point. It was just kind of in the past.
Right. And what brought it back into your memory, or what got you thinking about it again?
So Mark and I can't remember the year. I think it was several years later, we met up and were discussing movie making. One of the ideas that came up was a book that you're familiar with, that you actually did the audio tape for, The Ancients. And we worked on that for years, trying to adapt that into a screenplay. But the plot was just so complex that I think we got a little frustrated. And we haven't abandoned that project completely, but Gone Are the Days came up in a conversation. I didn't think I owned it. And so our attorney at the time said, yeah, of course you own it. If they didn't make it in 5 years, and plus, why would you think they own it just because you submitted it to a contest? So we circulated it, read it. Everybody decided that we were going to put The Ancients on the back burner and go forward with Gone Are the Days, and it came together extremely quickly.
It seems like it did. And so let me bring Mark Gould into the conversation then. Mark, so as you were talking about this with Greg, were you getting some visions of this film in your mind?
Yeah, it was very interesting when he was talking to me about the project, because we were really deep into The Ancients. He goes, hey, I have this other project that I wrote for Project Greenlight, and I want you to take a look at these first 8 pages that I have of a rewrite that I was thinking about it. And I said, sure. So he sent it to me, and it was like a silent film, and I was like, wow, this is amazing, because it was a character-driven piece, right? 8 pages of one guy on a ranch, and he's not talking to anybody, just like dying on this ranch. And I was like, this is so fascinating. And so it just drew me in visually and then story-wise, and I'm like, let's just start from here, from scratch, and let's just work our way through. And I think that's the best way to work, is once you find the flavor of a film and kind of a story you go, you can really open it up and start working. So that's pretty much how it got its legs, I believe, the best way to describe it for me.
Right. And as Greg mentioned, though, it seems like this project kind of moved at light speed, at least when you're talking about how films get made in California.
Yeah, the average is like 7 years, they say, to get a film made, one of your projects. And that's average.
Right.
Yeah, it did. But I think when you have the funds kind of set aside, because we knew we were going to put a movie in and the funds are set aside, and we knew where we were going to start from, and you know you're going to be there, you tend to work quicker and you tend to work fast, and you can turn things around because you know you're moving a project. And I always tell everyone, once you start growing and you start putting on put a cast together, you start putting the project together, you start collaborating with everybody, you bring everyone in, the project can move at lightning speed. And it'll go really quick when it's not confusing and going, well, do we have a story or do we have this? It just continues and it goes rather quickly once you get to that point.
And we want to remind everybody that there are some screenings that are planned for, actually, I believe, later on this week in both Durango and Farmington. Isn't that right, Greg Tucker?
Yes, that's right. Both Durango and Farmington in the Allen Theaters, the movie starts on the 16th, and you can buy tickets now on Allen Theaters website. And there's like four or five showings a day for at least the next week.
Okay. And it's exciting that we're getting to see the film even before folks in Los Angeles, because it won't open there until March 23rd.
Right. Premieres in Beverly Hills on March 23rd. And I'd like to point out, in Farmington on the 16th, after the 6:45 showing, everybody on this call is going to be there for a question and answer, so people will be able to meet Lance. And in Durango on the 17th, after the 6:45 showing, same thing.
Okay. And that is a great opportunity to bring Lance Henriksen into the conversation here, who plays the leading role, I would say, of Talon Flynn, described here as a notorious but aging outlaw, struggling to come to terms with the man he has become versus who he once was. And Lance, talk to me about your involvement with this film. What drew you to this part?
Hey, first, I gotta thank Greg.
Okay.
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Hey, man, we've been sending some texts back and forth. Yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Very good.
Yeah, it's great to hear you guys. Well, what brought me into it was the script, of course.
Right.
And I met Mark and the guys. And I felt it's not so much he's an aging outlaw, he was an aging bank robber, which is a little further up on the chain.
Right.
Life chain, I mean. So I like the idea so much. The first 20 pages kind of terrified me because it was just me alone in this ranch, you know, that I've been holding on to and hiding out on for years. And I thought, how do you do this? It was, you know, it had a little bit of Buster Keaton in it. It had a little bit of craziness to it because he realizes he only has one shot at fixing some of the past with his daughter.
Right.
But anyway, it got me very challenged. So I was really grateful for the opportunity because it was a lot of work for everybody.
Sure.
But we did it.
You did.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I got to say, Lance Henriksen, you are a Golden Globe nominee. You spent a lot of time in your long johns in this film.
Yes, I did, and it was a little embarrassing.
Okay.
Especially, everybody lost their appetites at catering because I was walking around in them.
How you suffer for your art, I understand.
Yes, and yeah, it took a lot of fortitude to be walking around in those.
There you go. Well,
the crotch of those were down to my knees, by the way. And I've been on. I had them on for like weeks. So
there you go. If that doesn't get folks to watch the film, I don't know what will.
I know exactly.
Right.
Exactly. There are those of us that get used to long johns.
That's right. Greg Tucker, there are a lot of names, locations in this film that folks certainly listening to this program will recognize. That was, I imagine, by design to talk about some local communities and landmarks and things.
Yeah, absolutely. The Talon's Ranch is outside of Hesperus. And then there's a scene in Hesperus and a scene in Durango. We really wanted to shoot it out in the actual areas, but we just didn't have the budget for it. It was like Mark has said in some newspaper articles, it would have inflated our budget over $1 million by shooting it out here. So we ended up shooting it at Paramount Ranch and Big Sky Ranch, which people will probably recognize from the Westworld series. In fact, I think we were pushed back a week or forward a week because of the Westworld series. So
interesting. And Mark and I talked a little bit about that before we came on the air this morning, about the complexities and I guess some of the other issues of having to take a film and shoot it, try to shoot it on location. And Mark, you were telling me that these sets in California are kind of built with this in mind, to be able to shoot these things and be able to set them in the period that you want them set at. And this is what, early 1900s, I recall, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the great thing of having the sets out here, is that you can just come in and you can do it. When you have a limited budget and limited time to shoot, it complicates things, because already you have a limited budget. Now you're kind of working with time. You don't have a lot of time. So you have to have sets all ready to go, where you can kind of just dress it, and that's pretty much so you can run and shoot, you know. So that's what the benefits were for being out here. And it was the only way we could have shot this film. But we really wanted to keep the idea that Greg and I talked for a long time about this. We wanted to keep the idea that it's in Durango and it is in Hesperus. And we wanted to, because we're from there, and we wanted to keep that nostalgia about it. So.
Right. And certainly, I guess you could add some things in post or what have you, but again, that adds to the cost of the film as well. There's only so much you can do digitally, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to add the Rocky Mountains and do all this, and you can't do that. You really just can't even add this. Once you see Durango and you know Durango, it's fantastic and it's beautiful. There's no place like it. There really isn't. But I think most people could understand where we're coming from, and it's mainly about the story. Is what we're more concerned about than anything else.
Sure, sure. And certainly a lot of our listeners know Greg Tucker's connection to the area, of course, as former district attorney and local attorney. And Mark, talk to me a little bit about your ties to the Four Corners area and remind folks about your life here.
Yeah, I graduated way back then, and in the 80s, and I went straight from Farmington after graduating to New Mexico State, and then I ended up at CalArts. And then from there, you know, I've been shooting music videos and TV shows, and this is my first major feature that I'm doing. But I always try and come back, and I've been wanting to come back to shoot in the Four Corners area because I miss it. I mean, it's one of the best places to it's beautiful to shoot there, and I just kind of actually miss that area. And graduating from there and my life there, it left an impression on you that you just can't, as an artist, you just can't let go of it. You constantly are thinking, hey, there's some great stories and great people that live in Farmington, and you kind of just want to go back and just be there as much as you can also. So.
And so now you and some others have formed your own production company in California then, correct? So you were working on some other projects in addition to this film?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a business partner out here that we connected with. He used to be in the music industry, and now he's in the film industry with me. And we started our company around 10 years ago, and since then we've worked on TV shows and, you know, this film and music videos, and we've just done a lot of work. And building a company, it takes time, and this has been a great opportunity and a great start for us in the film industry. And Greg was nice enough to jump on board and believe in us as our company and work with us to make the film Gone Are the Days. So it's been a great ride so far, and I can't wait to see where it goes. But it really is, like, we have like four films in that area. Greg and I obviously have films we want to do also in that area. To shoot. We want to bring some work to that area and shoot. It'd be nice.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. My guest this morning, some of the cast and crew from Gone Are the Days, which is being released, screenings later on this week in Farmington and in Durango. Gentlemen, we've got the trailer queued up, so I want to play that for the radio audience and let them kind of hear a little bit about the film and come back and talk with you all in just a moment. Let's take a listen to the trailer from Gone Are the Days.
To get from over there to that place over there, You got to pay me.
I ain't paying you across no creek.
Everybody pay.
Doctor tells me I'm at the end of my trail.
So, what'll it be?
I'm thinking about a bank.
Oh, I see an old man passing through town.
Still an outlaw.
He's one mean sumbitch.
You sure you're up for this?
I'm sure it's a bad idea. But I'm going anyway.
We have to bank the rob. Why are we here?
He's gonna kill me.
I'm gonna get her out of this godforsaken place.
You looking for your rifle?
Let's do it.
We're not there yet.
Sends right here now.
Save the last bullet for yourself.
That's the trailer of the film Gone Are the Days, and I'm talking to the writer of that motion picture, Greg Tucker, also the director, Mark Gould, and starring actor in the film, Lance Henriksen, here on the program this morning. And gentlemen, I think even from just hearing the audio of the trailer, I think the audience gets a little bit of a feel for what's going on in that motion picture, don't you?
Yeah, I've never listened to a trailer on the radio before. That was interesting. Hey, I wanted to bring one thing up that I think is interesting is how Lance got involved in the project. And when I said that it happened really quickly, and you know, Mark agreed. Once we heard that Lance was on board, I think at that point it was like pedal to the floor. Like everybody was, he's going to be perfect for this role. And I think when people watch this movie, they're going to be blown away by Lance's performance. I mean, he's been in, forgive me if I'm wrong, it's over 200 and something movies. But
50.
He's 250. Excellent. 250 movies, huh? So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. And it's forever growing. But hey, man, I got to tell you something. When this movie began, once we were on sets, and the only problem I had, I love Four Corners, but I couldn't pronounce Hesperus.
Oops.
And I can now, but Mark would be beating me over the head. No, it's Hesperus. And it was like, there was something about the way we all dealt with each other that made this thing come alive, because it's not where you are. I mean, those things are all mentioned in the film. And devoted to it, but it was what we were trying to do. It's a different kind of movie. It really is. It's got a lot of qualities, you know. So it evolved, and it was a great adventure. I'm telling you. I mean, I love westerns anyway. I mean, I've done a few.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I did Quick and the Dead and Dead Van and all these different westerns, but this was my favorite.
And Mark Gould, how important is it for the cast and crew to keep everyone focused and keep it moving? I mean, obviously time is money, especially when you're talking about a motion picture, to get things moving along. Right. And I guess maybe to keep the morale up on a film when sometimes not everything goes according to plan.
Yeah. It's interesting because you have so many different personalities on set, you know, even the assistant cameraman can, you know, really make everyone go crazy if he's yelling a lot. You're just, when you're directing something, you try and keep everything calm, cool, positive, and keep things moving as quick as you can, because you have to get as many shots as you can and in such a time frame. But what's great about Lance was I didn't have to babysit him as an actor because he's such a professional. And early on, when we first grabbed the script, he was like, I want to really live this part. I really want to be this character. And for an actor to come in, and he had about 2 months to kind of prepare for this, it was just fantastic to watch his process kind of develop in this character. We'd go have breakfast. We would talk about the character. He would call me. He picked out his horse, the one he wanted. He wanted an older horse, you know. He was so involved. And when we were going out looking at the locations and scout locations and everything, Lance was there the whole time so he could see his environment. So it helped out a ton when you're doing something like this, because when your actors are that involved and living the part, it just makes it easier for you to worry about costumes and lighting and sets and all the other things that come running at you at one time. And, you know, and then also we have Meg and Billy and everybody was kind of coming in, giving their all for this film. And Tom Berenger was fantastic, too. And watching Tom and Lance act together, oh, that was great.
Right.
They've been playing off of each other. You know, it was fantastic.
And Greg Tucker, as executive producer, I mean, again, you have some control over what's going on or going on to the final cut, but how much faith do you have to have in Mark as well and his vision?
Oh, a ton of faith. I mean, when we began this, I think I wore him out telling him over and over again, I didn't want to do a movie that looked like a cheesy independent film. Like, if we're going to do this, let's do it right, and let's bring in good actors, and let's shoot it at good locations, and he obviously delivered. I mean, the film looks amazing. I can't wait to see it on a big screen. I've only seen it on a TV. But, I mean, really, as executive producer, my role, I mean, it was 120 degrees at Big Sky Ranch when Lance was running around in his underwear. So I went to Walmart bought ice towels for everybody, so we wouldn't have, because we actually, I think we had a grip that actually fainted on set and wasn't able to come back the next day. So I was just there to kind of morally support and watch the magic happen.
Right. And of course, you know, you talked a little bit about your the book that you wrote and that we made into an audio book and some other projects that you've been involved with. I mean, it seems like you've got a lot of other things going on than just being an attorney.
Yeah, I do. And we're definitely going to be doing some more movies in the future.
Right.
Mark and I.
Absolutely. I mean, when you get something like this, the thing that I think people make a mistake in Hollywood is they make just films and they get away. I love people like directors who grab it. I would love to work as many films with Lance as I can because he brings something different to the table and he's such a good actor. And I love to work with Greg, but once you get a team together, you shouldn't lose it, you know? I mean, that's the where magic happens, because then you get better and better and better. That's where I think we are.
Yeah, like the Coen brothers. Like the Coen brothers, they put a good team together and they keep it together. So
there you go.
You know what, guys? That's probably the future wave of making films. I mean, that people are going to work together and then continue working together, because then they know each other and support each other. I've seen it, and I really like it. I don't like giant crews where it's all becoming sterile. You know, it becomes I don't want to talk about unions, but it's a much more identifiable situation when you know everybody. It's really a good thing.
Let me ask.
I didn't know you were a lawyer, Greg.
But you still like him, though, right?
I keep that.
I didn't know Greg was a lawyer. That's kind of.
He doesn't share that with a lot of people. I don't. Sometimes he does.
I would have been much edgier if I'd known. and by the way, Mark took my gun away every chance he got.
Oh, did he?
And that really bugged me. Yeah, it really did. He would hide it. He would hide it with the ADs and stuff, and I'd be saying, "Where's my gun?"
No, you wouldn't. You'd be screaming, "Where's my gun?" And he'd be, "What kind of Western is this? I can't have my gun."
Yeah, right.
The whole time.
The movie has a personality of its own. It really does. Everybody involved. I mean, Meg is a great actor, and Danny Trejo, of course, is a wild man. And we got Tom Berenger and Billy Lush, and Steve Railsback is in it, and he plays a wonderful slime ball. But anyway,
that's right.
But I got to tell you, it was a once in a lifetime kind of movie. You would never repeat this. It was a once in a lifetime thing, you know. So you have to see it out and see how it's going and see what people feel about it. That's what I'm really excited about, is what is the audience going to do when they're sitting there and watching it.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great reminder that there are screenings coming up this weekend in both Farmington and Durango. They will start, right? Greg Tucker, you've got a deal with the Ellen Theaters in both communities, I think, right?
That's correct. Yes.
And folks can go in and get tickets, and you all will be in attendance at which screening? There was a specific time, and I'm recalling it now.
6:45.
I wouldn't miss it.
6:45 on the 16th?
In Farmington on the 16th, and in Durango on the 17th.
Okay.
At the 6:45 showing. That's
you're going to be at both of those, Greg?
I am.
And Marcus, too?
Oh, yeah. You. Wouldn't miss it.
Could not keep you away.
Wonderful.
We're doing a Q&A afterwards, after the 6:45.
Right.
We just kind of want to hear what the audience is. And it's really cool to come back to Farmington with a film. For me, it's just an honor, a huge honor to bring it. And for Lance to come back and be part of it. But we get to do Q&A, and that's something that I really, really want us to do so that we can hear what people say about the film. Because it's not one of those shoot 'em up, blowing 'em up films the whole time through that I feel like some of the Westerns have turned to. It's more of the old style of telling Western. And we did more of an homage to that style in the what they were doing in the 50s, 60s, 70s. We had that kind of a feel to it. We shot everything anamorphic, and it's just beautiful. It's really pretty. Our cinematographer, Andrew Russo, did a fantastic job with colors and just, when you do see it, and Greg hasn't seen it on the big screen, but when you do see it on the big screen and it's anamorphic, it looks beautiful. And I hope people will go see it in the theaters because of that specifically.
The film is Gone Are the Days. It'll be screened here in Farmington and Durango this weekend. My guests on the radio this morning, writer Greg Tucker, director Mark Gould, and actor Lance Henriksen. And Mark, let me ask you a bit about the movie business. And with this film being picked up by, Grindstone Entertainment and Lionsgate, who I think folks may have heard of. Yeah. How big a deal is that?
Well, it's actually a pretty big deal for a first-time filmmaker, a first-time film, you know.
Right.
It really is. For me, personally, I know I have friends who have gone to Sundance and have won, actually, Sundance, and they never got distribution. So it is a big step as far as business-wise, because now you can tell people, hey, we've done quality work at a low budget, we did it in such a manner of time. We did this quality, look what we can do. And for a company like Grindstone and Lionsgate, Greg, I think they said they pick up something like 10 or 12 a year. How many? I forgot the number.
It's nine.
It's nine.
Yeah, nine.
Yeah, nine films a year. And for our film to be picked up as one of the nine, that's pretty good, you know, and pretty impressive for what we did and for it to be picked up.
Well, so and
it's pretty big.
And from my limited knowledge of the movie industry, I mean, the distribution is a key component. I mean, a lot of folks can make films, a lot of folks are making films, but to actually get them distributed is really the key component, is it not?
It is, and who you cast. And
right.
It's funny, that helps with your distribution. And we knew once Lance jumped on and Tom Berenger jumped on, and then Danny Trejo, we knew we had our audience. Because Lance carries a huge audience. Danny carries a huge audience, and so does Tom. So, and when you're making a film, I think some of the biggest mistakes that independent filmmakers make out there is they make these art films just for themselves. And they get money from people, or some people invest, and then they don't think of who their audience is. And so you got to kind of really go, who's your audience here, and who are you making this film for? And you got to be very aware of that. Now, I don't want to take away from the art and the storytelling at all, but that is something that you need to make sure who you are so that you can get distribution, because it is a business. It's the movie industry, and they are very, very much into the money and collecting the money. So you want to make sure that your investors get their money back and you take care of people so you can continue to make films. That's your main thing as a director and producer.
Right. And with, you mentioned that this film was kind of done on a smaller budget than most. Is that something that studios are keeping an eye on these days? I mean, we hear about these blockbuster films that just spend money like water sometimes, but how important is it to be able to show a studio that you brought this film in on budget or under budget?
Well, it's huge. You know, they didn't make this film. We did. They just bought it. So usually when the distribution companies come in and they buy the film from you, they look at, you know, how much did they spend? How much is it, you know, we're going to be able to make off of this? But how good the quality is. And so some people have looked at our film and they said, you guys made this for, you know, around $5 million. And we're like, we snicker because we did not make it for $5 million. We hit you well under a million. But, I mean, we were just giggling because the quality looks good. So for someone to look at that and say, you guys got excellent performances, the cinematography is really good, it's an honor. It's, you know, you're humbled because you're just like, wow. They did want to take this film. They did want to. They did believe in this film, and that doesn't happen a lot in this industry. It really doesn't. But the trend that you're talking about, I brought this up because the trend that you're talking about is, yes, they are starting to head that way. They are starting to go with, you have your very low budget films anywhere between $5 and $15 million, and then you have your great big budgets, you know, over $100 million. I don't know, Lance. You like being in the $5 to $10 million, don't you? Area.
I do. Yeah, I do. I've done some big budget movies. I mean, when I did Aliens, that was the, you know, playing Bishop. That movie was only $12 million.
Oh wow. Hmm. Well, at the time, right? At the time.
at the time. Right. I mean, it, you know, so what is a low budget now? In the future, maybe a little more than that. You know, but.
Yeah.
Inflation and taxes and, you know, whatever, business. I don't know business. I know how to get absorbed into a movie, but that's what I do. I have no desire to direct or no desire to step out of that particular box. That's why I've been through 50 movies. I don't.
Hey, Scott, I'll throw my
lifespan of a director is only what? How many movies? Maybe 30 at the most.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In a lifetime.
Right. Yep. Greg Tucker, what did you want to add?
I just want to throw my two cents into that. I mean, budget obviously has a lot to do with it, but I think the acting quality has huge. I mean, when people watch this movie, the first 15 minutes of this movie, there's no dialogue. And for Lance to pull that off, I mean, I guess I never really asked him, but I would think that acting and without dialogue has got to be more difficult. But when you watch this movie, I think you just get pulled into it. I think, you know, these executives, they don't have time to, I mean, I don't know how many movies get made a year, but I'm sure it's tens of thousands. They don't have time to sit down and watch a full movie, but this one really draws you in. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Like, they had no idea how much we shot this movie for. And that's, you know, to Mark's credit and to the producers. But I think when you watch this movie, it's the acting and it's the beginning of the movie that just pulls you in.
Sure. Well, definitely.
We needed that. When I read it, Greg, I mean, I got to tell you, I thought it was like one of the big challenges. I said, I realize even if I have to break a leg, and literally break a leg, I was willing to do it without breaking a leg. But if I did, that would have been fine with me because it demanded something that I've never seen in a movie. I haven't. I never had anybody hand me a script that had 20 minutes or 20 pages, if you say a page a minute. I mean, and it was amazing to try. It really was. I didn't think I was on top of it, but I thought, I'll break a leg if I have to.
Well, gentlemen,
and you know, it's not easy to practice.
That sounds ill. Sounds ill, doesn't it? I mean,
it sounds like dedication to me. But gentlemen, I'm afraid we are out of time this morning, but I can't thank you all enough for being with me on the program today.
Great.
Oh,
thank you so much,
guys. Hey, thanks for having us, buddy.
You are very welcome. You will all be in San Juan County and in Southern Colorado this weekend for the screenings, again on March 16th in Farmington and March 17th up in Durango at the Allen Theaters. Right, Greg Tucker?
That is correct.
Okay. And I hope at some point someone will drive Lance through Hesperus.
Yeah.
So, at least
drive
wait.
Through.
You got it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, man.
You're very welcome. Greg Tucker, Mark Gould, Lance Henriksen, the cast and crew from Gone Are the Days, my guests here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the University of Denver Graduate School of Social Work, Four Corners Program, a two-year and advanced standing Master of Social Work degree taught at Durango, connecting students with the unique challenges of rural and tribal communities. Enrollment for fall 2018 closes May 1st. Information is available by phone, 970-247-9773.